In order for the Labour Party to form a majority in 2020, we've got to make 94 gains. But of course, that's in addition to retaining the support that we do have. And I've released research today that I got the House of Commons Library to carry out, which shows that in more than one in three seats in this country, the ethnic minority voting population exceeds the majority of the MPs. So it's absolutely fundamental, if you want to win a general election in this country, that you have significant ethnic minority support. And the problem that Labour Party's got is that at the last general election, we saw a dramatic drop in our support amongst our different ethnic minority communities. And of course, it's very important to say all of our different ethnic minority communities are different, and we shouldn't just generalise about them. But if you look at them in aggregate, we are losing the support. So specifically, if you say, look at the Hindu community or the Sikh community, the Conservatives won a clear majority. They won the general election roundly, you know, soundly from that point of view. Roundly, soundly. I think you get my
drift. Your drift. I do. Why is that, Chuka? I wondered before you came on if it would be particularly in the Indian community that the Tories are benefiting. Often they're small businessmen and women. Is that where the Tories are picking up the votes?
It's not only in that community. I mean, I know, you know, just anecdotally, I was quite shocked both in 2008, but also in 2012, by the numbers of black Londoners that I met who were supporting Boris Johnson. I was very surprised about that. I think part of this is because the Conservatives have been assiduously courting the different ethnic minority communities since 2005. Historically, the perception that they hold prejudice against our different communities has held people back from supporting them in those communities because of, you know, things. I mean, if you read the memo that Oliver Letwin, as an advisor to Margaret Thatcher, wrote for the then Prime Minister in 1985 and the kind of sentiments that were expressed in that memo about black and Asian people, you can understand why historically the Conservatives have struggled to get our support. And I talk as somebody who is of ethnic minority descent myself. But I think people see the Conservatives in a slightly different light now. That's not least because they have many more ethnic minority MPs. They increased the number of Conservative ethnic minority MPs by 15 at the last general election. I mean, they have two ethnic minority members of cabinet now, whereas we, although we're still in the lead, we increased ours by 10. And my point is, my argument is, if we continue to see this dramatic loss in support amongst our ethnic minority communities for Labour, that, you know, we have not a hope in hell of forming a government in 2020. The alarm bells should be ringing. Really, they should be.
You're saying as well today, I think, that you're not only is Labour failing to speak to the aspirations of black and Asian voters, but it's losing the battle to look and feel more representative of the country as a whole. What do you mean by that?
Well, we need to, I mean, if we want to represent all our different communities, then we've got to respond to their concerns. And I think there has been a problem with engagement. I mean, the irony of all of this, Andrew, is that if you look at the policies that the Labour Party implemented when we were in government, they disproportionately helped our different ethnic minority communities. And you can see that now as the Tories seek to dismantle a lot of what we did. The equality impact assessments, which we introduced, the equality impact assessments of those cuts and reversals of decision show that very, very clearly. But I think there definitely was an engagement problem. And also there was a perception that the Labour Party had come to take the support of the different ethnic and minority communities for granted. And that has done a lot of damage. I also think amongst our ethnic minority communities, there is a growing black and Asian middle class as the communities become even more successful and even more prosperous. And in particular, in areas like, say, Watford or the seats in Swindon and Milton Keynes, that is where we really have been losing support amongst our ethnic minority communities. Against, if you look at a seat like mine in Streatham, which is a kind of would be considered, I suppose, now as a heartland seat, although I don't take anybody's vote for granted, frankly. But we increased the majority. But that's been part of the problem where there has, you know, we have held onto the ethnic minority votes. It has been in areas where actually we're going to have, we do quite well and get the seat. But if we're looking at areas where we want to actually gain seats, we can't afford to be losing votes at the rate that we are.
Well, interesting. We're listening to your speech with interest later, Chuka. Can I just ask you about two other things while I've got you on? Google has announced today it's to pay an extra $130 million in back taxes. Now, you, of course, were shadow business secretary and were often critical of these companies doing major tax avoidance. In 2013, Google had a turnover of nearly $4 billion. They're still not paying enough, are they?
I agree. And, of course, $130 million sounds like quite a lot, but relative, like you say, to their overall profits.
Well, in 2013, they had a turnover of $3.8 billion and they paid taxes of $20
million. Yeah, and they need to understand, these companies, that, you know, you cannot, it is incredibly cheeky for them to make all these demands of government in terms of investment in our infrastructure, investment in the skills of our people so they can recruit a decent workforce, etc. It is, you know, really cheeky for them to expect us to make those investments when they're not prepared to pay their fair share to help us make those things happen. Now, I'm not one to, you know, beat up on all these businesses. I think they make an important contribution, but they need to understand they're not just companies, they are citizens, and we expect them to play their full part. And the thing is that on the tax debate, they say, look, if you've got a problem with tax, you lawmakers, it's your fault. Pass laws to make us pay them, and we'll pay taxes, we'll pay more taxes. But the problem is that ultimately there's all kinds of things that the law doesn't force us to do that we do because we believe it's the right thing to do in the interest of our country and our people. And they need to understand that far better before people start patting them on the back for making a greater contribution to the Exchequer, frankly.
And just finally, it's a row that's been raging all week, and Charlotte Rampling is in every single paper today. She says the row over black actors not being nominated for any Oscars for the second year running, she says it's anti-white racism. Would you join the boycott?
She's saying it's anti-white racism.
Yeah, she is.
Well, I mean, I haven't seen her specific comments, and I don't know how helpful in any particular situation boycotts can be. But what I do know is that we need far greater diversity, both in front of the camera and microphones and behind them too. And I actually think many of our big media organisations would do a lot better if they had boards and people actually providing strategic direction in these companies looked and sounded more like the modern communities that we are. And then perhaps these things wouldn't happen with the frequency that they do.
All right.